Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Well, guys, I believe it was last week in this meeting when I brought up the name Jonas Gray.
I believe I made you say that he was going to be better than Jarvis Greenellis.
And what did I say?
You said yes. And guess what? For at least one game, he certainly was. He had a dominant performance against the Colts. You know, records that have stood since the 1920s, the roaring 20s. It was great. And I would say the offensive line deserves.
Sure.
You know, with Jonas Gray on the cover of Sports Illustrated, you'd like to see the offensive line all grouped in behind him because that was a great effort.
Like Tom Brady was talking about earlier in the week, always nice to see different ways. The offense can do it in different ways. We know that they can throw the football. We know Gronk can be dominant as a receiver. We've seen Brandon LaFell step up. We've seen Julian Edelman be a big part. Now you've seen Jonas Gray in the running game really lead to a victory.
And, Paul, we were talking back at the office. You had a good stat about yards after contact.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, according to the guys that do this stuff at Pro Football Focus, 100 of his yards came after contact. I mean, to get half of your yards before you even get touched, to me, speaks volumes about the offensive line, the guys up front. And, again, Brian Wendell going to right guard, Brian Stork settling in at center, moving Dan Conley to left guard. It's been a whole different group since
then. It has.
Then.
And then Gronkowski chipping in on blocking as well.
He was dominant.
Gronkowski,
dominant.
Cameron yeah. Fleming as the extra tight end offensive lineman there. James Devlin, my guy, I thought, said some
Cool
really
man
nice
was
blocks.
In there. Yep.
They came in knowing they wanted to run. They lined up, they ran, and there was absolutely nothing the Colts could do about it. And as you look back on it, it's good because it was probably a day when Brady wasn't at his best, threw a couple first-half interceptions, was a little bit off. And, you know, I've said sometimes these games, they snowball. He has to throw the ball, so now he throws four interceptions and you lose on the road and it's sort of one of those days. Well, Brady might have had one of those days and you went out and had one of your most impressive road wins in a long time.
And I think, you know, we talked about being able to win in different ways with the offense. And we certainly see that. We saw that last year, though, too. But I think what we're seeing this year is I think the defense is also better. I think, you know, they've got a defense now that they can do different things against different offenses as well. They're as versatile on defense as they are in offense. And I think, you know, it comes down to Darrell Revis.
No, I think it starts and ends with him. But I don't want to ignore the two linebackers because I think they've played at a really high level, Dante Hightower and Jamie Collins. But you're right, Freddie. Revis's ability, and we saw it on Sunday night, Reggie Wayne got off to a little bit of a quick start, you know, whether it was Browner or whoever. I think he had four or five catches right out of the chute, including a 46-yarder. They haven't allowed any of those big kinds of plays. They put Revis on him, and that was it.
Yep.
That was it for Reggie Wayne the rest of the night. They double-teamed T.Y. Hilton, takes him out of the game. We haven't seen this kind of stuff from the Patriots secondary in the recent past. And we know that Andrew Luck is a good quarterback, and he was able to make some plays, and they had some receivers open. You're not going to completely shut down that kind of an offense, but that's about as close as you're going to get, to me, to shutting down a great offense is what you saw. And, yeah, Kobe Fleener got some production on Browner. That's something that needs to be kept an eye on moving forward. But Darrell Revis' ability to cover and the two linebackers' ability to stop 14 carries for 4 yards for their two running backs. What happened to the group that couldn't stop Jamaal Charles and Nile Davis?
Right.
And the group that couldn't stop even Geno Smith and Chris Ivory?
It was years ago.
It seems like a whole different season.
Right. It was a different team.
This defense, doesn't it give you so much more confidence going up against Calvin Johnson than it would at the beginning of the season, now that knowing what we know now?
Well, now I go back to his point. What? You know what gives me a lot more confidence against Calvin Johnson? Darrell Revis.
Tom Brady, too. I have a lot of confidence that Tom Brady can score more
He's
than
He's going to cover Calvin Johnson?
No, scoring.
I don't like that.
Spot scoring. The Patriots coaching staff always does such a great job of coming up with different things to keep the opponent off guard. And I thought one wrinkle they added to the running game last Sunday night was using an extra tackle. Cameron Fleming was outstanding in this game. Used about 30 or 35 snaps, almost all productive runs for Jonas Gray when Fleming was on the field. Really added an extra level of blocking. Rob Gronkowski was outstanding, but don't discount Fleming. Unfortunately, I don't know how much more of that we're going to see because he went down with what looked like a pretty significant injury, lower leg injury late in the game. So I'm not sure about his availability moving forward, but for one night, the rookie Fleming was outstanding. Another element of the running game that was really solid against Indianapolis on the other side of the ball, stopping the run. And this, to me, has been a problem all season long. In the last couple of weeks against Denver and against Indianapolis, the Patriots were really stout while using a lot of extra defensive backs, lighter fronts, only six men, seven men in the box at times. And I think one guy that really stepped up and played really well in this kind of a situation was Alan Branch, the newest guy on the roster. A big guy, obviously 320, 30, 40 plus pounds, took up a lot of space inside. I thought he was much more effective than Casey Walker had been in that role earlier in the season. He didn't play a ton, but I thought when Branch was out there, he really clogged up the lanes, took up space, and did exactly what you're looking for out of a nose tackle. Alan Branch, we'll see if he can expand on that role a little bit moving forward. The secondary has obviously been a huge success this season, much better than it has been in recent years. Darrell Revis is obvious, and he's been great. Brandon Browner pitching in on the other side. But one thing I'm a little bit confused by is the inactivity of Alphonso Dennard. I don't understand where he is exactly on the depth chart. I know that he's probably considered to be behind Brandon Browner at this point, so maybe he's the third guy on the outside, and maybe he's not suited to play on the inside with Kyle Arrington and Logan Ryan, and that's leaving him on the bench. But what I don't get is how Malcolm Butler is playing over him. He's been active in these games. I feel that Dennard gives you a little bit more in terms of flat-out coverage on the outside. Maybe they like Butler's versatility, his ability to play special teams, but I think there's still going to be a need for Dennard, so I'd like to see him get active and participate because I think you can never have enough defensive backs in this league.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
As a lineman, I mean, it's great to kind of always be on the offensive and to be able to, you know, just play some hard-nosed football.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam, new ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide.
Images of the week. I thought it would be a good idea to relive that amazing catch, run, and touchdown by Rob Gronkowski at the end of the game. Here he is running through the Colts defenders, barreling his way into the end zone, ending up on his head for the score.
Player perspective. Brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Joining me now in the Patriots locker room here at Gillette Stadium, Patriots offensive lineman, co-captain Dan Conley. Dan, coming off a week where you guys churned out 250 yards, pretty good week to be an offensive lineman?
Yeah, we just tried to stick to our plan and just play a physical game, and it really paid off for us.
How much fun is that for you guys? And you're a passing offense, so you spend a lot of time sort of going backwards and protecting Tom. How much fun is it when you get a game plan and it starts churning out like that and working when you can just fire out and blow people off the ball?
Yeah, as a lineman, I mean, it's great to kind of always be on the offensive and to be able to, you know, just play some hard-nosed football straight ahead.
And how nice is it when you have a guy like Jonas Gray who seems to be the type that he's just going to hit that hole and whatever you guys create, he's going to take and just keep moving forward, no dancing or anything like that?
Yeah, Jonas has done a really good job working hard. All we can do is try to just make the blocks for him he'll make some plays happen.
You talk about a difficult job as we turn the page forward to the Detroit Lions, one of the best defenses in football, one of the best defensive lines in football. What do you see in that challenge with guys like Ndamukong Suh and those guys up front?
Yeah, like you said, Sue and Mosley, I mean, those guys, they're big physical guys, and it's going to be a tough challenge for us. You know, we gotta really be ready to play, put in our time this week, study them hard, and just be ready to play a physical game.
You know, we think of guys like, you know, Chad Ochocinco and cornerbacks. You know, they sort of have these lists and these games where they get up for it. They really get excited for the matchup on the other side of the ball. As an offensive lineman, is this one of those weeks where you say, this is really a measuring stick of what we can do? And as Brady just said in his press comments, meet force with force?
Sure. I like to look at every game the same. I mean, I try to focus on every game as a big one. But definitely when you're playing against a good front and the best, you know, what many are saying the best front, it's good to have a challenge and to be able to put your best against their best.
Patriots offense, Patriots offensive line coming off a big night in Indianapolis. This week they have a big test on this field behind us here at Gillette Stadium during the afternoon. Detroit Lions bring an impressive defensive front to the field. It's number one in points allowed. It's number one overall. It's number one in rushing yards allowed. Top 10 in sacks.
number two on third down. It is a dominant front led by Ndamukong Suh, Ziggy Ansah. They are tough defensive linemen that will challenge Ryan Wendell, Brian Stork, Dan Conley, and the rest. The Patriots impose their will on the Colts. Now they have a much bigger test trying to do the same against the Lions. Turning now to the defensive side of the ball for the Patriots. And once upon a time when you prepared for the Lions, it was all about Calvin Johnson. And Calvin Johnson is still great, still the best receiver on the Lions. He's finally healthy, so he's a major challenge for Darrell Revis and company. But he doesn't work alone anymore. Golden Tate, one of the best free agent signings this offseason, been one of the more productive receivers in the National Football League this year. Nearly 70 catches, has a pass play of over 70 yards. Calvin Johnson has a catch of over 65 yards. Two big play receivers, two guys that can test a secondary. Darrell Revis has his job this week. Maybe it's Brandon Browner, but the rest of the secondary needs to get the job done against Golden Tate. One of the best things the Patriots can do to stop that passing attack led by Johnson, Tate, and obviously quarterback Matthew Stafford is to make the Lions one-dimensional. Shouldn't be too hard. Lions only averaging 3.2 yards per carry on the season. Reggie Bush is hurt. Not a very formidable running game. Patriots run defense coming off one of their best games of the year, dominating the Colts, not allowing them to get barely a single yard on the ground. They need to continue that this week, make the Lions one-dimensional, and then let Revis, Browner, Chung, and company do their job.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I'm not arguing that he's the most talented receiver and that Revis is your best cover guy. I think
so. Then why would you overthink it and take it too many steps further?
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
There's a lot of buzz around the NFL's decision to not reinstate Adrian Peterson. Instead, he'll be suspended without pay until he receives counseling and treatment for his way over-the-top disciplining of his 4-year-old son. Peterson pled no contest, and many think that should end the matter. Let him play. The league disagrees, and so do I. While we did hear Peterson admit that what he did and plead no contest in court, we have yet to hear him say that what he did was wrong. That's what it's all about, right? Understanding what you did was wrong and not doing it again. Of course, the Players Association isn't happy with the league's decision. Completely understandable, since their concern is the rights of the player. The league, on the other hand, has to be concerned with what's right.
I'm going to start off my Around the NFL with a quick little trivia question. Who is further out of first place, the 2-8 Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the 6-4 Seattle Seahawks and the 6-4 San Francisco 49ers? If you said the 49ers, you would be correct. I can't understand this, but the 2-8 Buccaneers are only two games out of first place in the NFC South, while Seattle and San Francisco are three games behind the Arizona Cardinals. This, to me, speaks to an unbelievably bad division, obviously, the NFC South, but I think it's a larger problem. I think the way that the playoffs is situated, I know I'm in the minority here, I think it's antiquated, I think it's got to go. When you only have to win a division to make the playoffs, you only have to be the best of four teams, I don't think that's the best way to go about it. Add some teams to the playoffs. I know we're heading in this direction anyway, but I'd like to see them take it a step further. Eight for each conference, the top eight. You seed them 1-8 by record. It doesn't matter about divisions. Eliminate all that nonsense, and then you eliminate situations like having teams like Atlanta and New Orleans tied for first place with losing records.
Did you notice the renaissance that went on this past weekend? A rushing renaissance. Yes, that's right. The ground game was the story in a lot of football games this past weekend. It wasn't just Jonas Gray. Sure, he earned the SI cover with 4 rushing touchdowns and 199 yards, helping the Patriots to the big road win. But it was Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh on Monday night. Maybe Trey Mason, the most impressive of all. The upset for the Rams, keyed by the first 100-yard rusher allowed by the Broncos this year. John Hanna once told me, in a passing league with passing defenses that get soft, sooner or later it's going to come back the other way. Teams are going to run right at it. You can win running the football. We saw that this weekend, and we also saw it last February with the Seattle Seahawks.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
The Patriots' new-look secondary has plenty of options to throw at opposing passing games. The question is simple. Which one do you throw at the best receiver in football, Calvin Johnson?
Right now, the way the defense is playing, I like their chances doing pretty much anything, but I am afraid to just lock up one-on-one, even with Revis. on Calvin Johnson. I think that's too big of a guy, too dangerous of a guy to leave all by himself.
I pay Darrelle Revis a lot of money, if I'm Robert Kraft. I'm not really, but I'm pretending I am.
You've paid him nothing.
I pay him a lot of money to be the best defender we have. Guess what? The best receiver on the other team is Calvin Johnson. Don't overthink it. Keep it simple, stupid. Number one corner, number one receiver. Darrelle, earn your money.
Yeah, listen, I feel like if you do that, that's all well and good that you have your principles and you're saying, well, he's my best and that's their best and I do what I do and I'm going to take my chances. But all it takes is a player or two where Revis can have excellent coverage. I don't have any fear of Revis losing sight or losing
track. That's the right answer. Thank you.
But he can make a play and beat you if you leave him by himself.
Who do you think he's going to make more plays against, Darrelle Revis or anyone else?
Yeah.
Who are you going to put on him? Brandon Brown? Brandon Brown? You like that matchup?
I want multiple anybody else.
Oh, so
no, I don't like the matchup.
We saw good communication last week, right? Communication fails you at times, too. You know what doesn't fail you? Talent. And the most talented coverage guy is Darrelle Revis against the most talented receiver, Calvin Johnson.
I'm not arguing that he's the most talented receiver and that Revis is your best cover guy. I think
so
you're
then why would
fire.
You overthink it and take it too many steps further?
Because
stop.
I think you need to
Move
do more
on.
Than just play man coverage. I don't think it's
double
as simple
tape.
As that. You
Throw
can't
multiple
just take
brackets
one
and whatever you want with Kyle Arrington, Brandon
why can't
Brown,
you do
or Logan
some
Ryan
bracket
Tate?
Stuff with Revis too.
Because
why is
that
he
opens
immune
up
to heavy
the
help?
Opportunity for miscommunication, missed assignments. There is no missed assignment when you say Darrelle. Get in that guy's jersey, stay in that guy's jersey, and don't let him catch passes. Yeah, and what else? We've seen Darrelle Revis play better when he's been challenged this year. This is the biggest challenge he can have. And Calvin
what,
Johnson.
Is it not challenging for him to have some help?
No, it's not.
To make sure
he
that
plays
he doesn't,
differently.
He doesn't
he
miss
likes
one
to
tackle,
be challenged.
And all of a sudden it turns into a long touchdown?
He likes
touchdown?
To be challenged.
Yeah, I get that.
Darrelle Revis doesn't need help.
Why can't he
Darrelle
be, cha- why can't he be challenged with
Tate?
Someone like, I don't know, Arrington or Logan Ryan helping him out a little bit?
No.
What, is there's no challenge in
no.
that?
No. What you do
You know, Devin
is,
McCourty over the top, you're crazy if you just want to just
roll
the dice.
Has the communication been perfect? Have you missed some of the times I've seen guys passed off to nobody this
there's
year?
There's nothing that's perfect, Andy. Darrelle Revis isn't perfect either. And if you play
He's
with fire and go
perfect.
One-on-one the whole game, you're going to get
you're gonna not going to get burned. He's the best corner man in football, best coverage guy in football. You pay him a lot. This is the reason you brought him here. It's the same reason you had Aqib Talib, to have a true number one corner to dominate opposing
funny,
receivers.
Funny, all along, I thought we brought him here to win football games.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. Locked and loaded for New England's wicked winter weather. Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Here's this week's fantasy tip brought to you by DraftKings. Understanding game flow can make you a vastly better daily fantasy football player. Teams that are heavy underdogs can often be a good value source of passing and receiving yards, since most defenses go into prevent mode with a sizable lead late in the game. Remember, you can win real cash prizes playing fantasy football at DraftKings.com. Head over there today and use the promo code PFW to receive a free entry into a weekly fantasy football contest.
All right, it's question time here in Ask PFW, but first, the Wilson Hart Power Index.
Interesting week this week, boys.
Patriots just riding to the top, I
Patriots
bet.
Learned a lesson in the Wilson Hart Power Index.
Your
turnovers can be costly. Patriots dropped from 1 to 2. The Green Bay Packers, pretty good football team, putting up big numbers, both sides of the ball, defense is improving. Packers take over the number one slot, and the Arizona Cardinals take over the number three slot, up one from last week. Broncos drop down two. Very interesting in the top of the rankings. The three-loss team, the Packers, is ahead of the two-loss team, the Patriots, is ahead of the one-loss team, the Cardinals. So you learn, record doesn't mean everything.
And neither do these rankings.
Good friend. Good.
All right. Let's
Very creative.
Let's get to the questions.
Where are the Kirsch rankings?
What's that?
Where are the Kirsch Perillo rankings?
They're worth the same amount as that.
Come up with some.
I look at the standings in the league. And
Very
that's
popular on Patriots.com, so forget you guys.
All right. 22-point road wins don't mean as much as they once did.
Don't distract him. He has trouble speaking.
Roe Clark writes in, if Tim Wright is in the mold of a motion tight end like Aaron Hernandez was, why isn't he employed in the same manner? The Patriots were pretty darn good when they had Hernandez and Gronkowski in 2010.
Well, I believe the term you were looking for is move tight end, is what a lot of NFL circles call those types of players. But just because you're in that position, you're not always moving. It means you're sort of an off the line, you're not an end of the line of scrimmage, hand in your dirt, you'll like that term too, type tight end.
Get them all, Freddie.
And Wright is used that way. He's split out wide when he gets chances. You know, they move guys around a lot. It's like last week, Brandon LaFell had a key catch. He's not a slot receiver, but guess what? He was lined up in the slot on a particular play. So I think we get a little too fixated on this guy's a slot receiver, this guy's an outside receiver. Guess what? Gronk lines up out wide too, and he's not a move tight end. He's as traditional a tight end as you'll find. So don't worry about the lingo. He's a versatile athlete that at some point will contribute to your offense.
Dan Drebon writes in, where do you think Gronk rates right now in the all-time Patriots tight end list? I'm thinking the top three are Gronk, Russ Francis, and Ben Coates in that order.
Is it okay? Should I handle this one?
Permission to speak about Gronkowski?
Well, yeah. Sir? You tell him where he ranks with the Patriots all-time tight ends, then I'll come in and talk about the NFL.
Well, absolutely, he's at the top of the Patriots list, and I like the order that he had those in.
You put Francis ahead of Coates?
Yeah, I do. I think Russ Francis was a very similar kind of guy, big play tight end, but not like Gronkowski. Not the blocker that Gronkowski is, although Russ Francis could block a little bit. Ben Coates, not so much. Gronkowski, when all is said and done, is going to be talked about among the all-time greats, period, not just with the Patriots. This guy is a special guy. Again, Andy, permission to speak openly about your little security blanket there. I had an argument with Ron Borges, who is the local guy for the NFL Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he's the voter. Andy and I were sort of talking to him. If, for some reason, Gronk couldn't play anymore with all the injuries he's had, has he done enough? Andy and I, we contend that he's already a Hall of Famer.
He's a Gale Sayers-type Hall of Famer.
Maybe not yet. He thinks he might have to do a little bit more and he'd have a hard time selling it, but he thinks he's worthy.
He's dominant.
If Ron Borges thinks he's worthy, he's a guy that crunches all these numbers with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yep. That's how good Rob Gronkowski is.
All right. David writes in, I fear that if we keep feeding Gronk the ball the way we have, he's going to get hurt again. Do you think we could or might sign some veteran help in the wide receiver core like Santonio Holmes?
You know, I really don't. I'm going to get this back to the very first question about the tight ends and about Tim Wright. And I think what we're talking about is why isn't he a bigger part of the offense? I just look at the way the offense has been so productive for the last month and a half. I don't really see the need. We talked about this a little bit during the pregame show before the Colts game. People wanting to see more Tim Wright, wanting to see more Brian Timms. Let's bring in Santonio Holmes. What more do you need? This offense right now, I understand if something were to happen to Gronkowski, things could change. But this offense is as productive as any in football. Right now, I think it's as dominant as any in football. They showed you this week they could do it in a different way. I don't need Santonio.
Sort of like that flawed logic when people say, well, if two aspirin are good, then maybe six are great. No. Two aspirin works. Gronkowski, Edelman, Brady is working right now. Let's stick with it. Let's not screw it up.
There's only one football. All right, that's this week's questions. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.